Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word. It's a great word. And I am grateful as I look at our word this morning, knowing that we are children of God, and he has asked us to obey him, to keep his commandments, because why? God created everything. There is only one God, and he created the heavens and the earth and all the universe and everything that's within. He created us all. We are blessed and highly favored to be children of the Most High God, and to know that we are loved. I say it again, to know that we are loved. I am so grateful today that God is good and that he is greatly to be praised. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning grateful, thankful, and blessed to be your daughter, to be a child of the Most High God, to be a believer, to know that my Savior lives in my heart, in my mind, and in my spirit, and that he died for me on Calvary's cross. I thank you, Father God, that you have given us, each and every one, a new opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday. Lord God, let us live right, be right, and do right, for you are so loving and kind, but you also are a good disciplinarian. You have shown us the way, God. Continue showing us the right way to do things. Not the realness of the world, but the realness of you, God. Father God, I ask you to continue guiding me, leading me, and showing me who I need to be your child, to be your minister, to teach and preach your word, God. For I am an empty vessel, open and ready to be filled up by you. So, Father God, I ask you, as I ask every day, for you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I believe, I pray, I lift up, I live, I move, have my being, knowing that my Savior lives. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Woo, giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And I thank God for each and every one of you who are listening in this morning. And the word that God has given us, we are coming out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and chapter 12 today. We will be starting a new book on tomorrow, the Song of Solomon. And today we are going to also be in the 103rd Psalm, completing it in verses 15 through 22, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 through 14, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. And our title is coming out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 today, and also some parts of chapter 11. So let's get started in our word. It's not a long word today, And again, my disclaimer, I'm giving it before we go into the word. I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, Signature Series, New King James Version. And I say it every day, and I'll say it again today. This Bible is a Bible that every Christian and every minister or teacher needs to put into their biblical arsenal. It is a great Bible. It's a great study Bible. And I am grateful that God gave it to me to share with you over these last couple of years. My assignment, for those that are like, what is up with this lady who just reads the Bible? That's my assignment, is to read the Word of God and to put His Word in the atmosphere. God is so good, and He wants us to do our very best. So I say today, keep God first in whatever you do, and watch Him work in your life. Everything in my life is not perfect, but I'm grateful that what is God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And so let's get into this beautiful, wonderful word today. And the word of God says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give serving to seven and also to eight. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And believe me, we have had some rain. We have had some clouds. We have had some thunder and lightning. I've got an absolutely awesome picture on Monday of lightning. I just kind of put my phone on as I just started taking pictures and hoped that one of them would be what I was looking for. And I got a absolutely beautiful lightning picture behind one of my trees, and it's just gorgeous. And I did not understand. I actually had one of my older trees hit by lightning, and I didn't understand it. I just thought that fall was coming early because that tree all of a sudden started having leaves that were dying. And the person that helped me with my lawn, he showed me, he said, look, and he showed me where you saw it hit. It went through the tree, down the tree, and out through one of the roots. It was the most magnificent thing I'd ever seen, because I'd never seen a place where lightning had struck, but it struck there. And it's like, wow, God. You know, God will show you, I'm in charge. And we got to remember that who is in charge is God. And all He's asking of us, keep my commandments. Love you one another. And all we hear is hate and distrust, and there's going to be riots in the streets. There's going to be another civil war. All of this craziness. This is not of God. And don't let anybody tell you that it is, because it's not. And let's keep it going. I don't want to get off track this morning, because the enemy is busy. And back to our word, I'm going to go over there again. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. How does a baby grow? Life is life, and we should honor it and love it. Because whatever God put in, only God should be the one taking out. That's just my opinion. That's my feeling. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper. Wow, what a word. What a word. Either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that all these God will bring you into judgment. God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And this is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, I have just read. Ecclesiastes 12 and 2 says, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkness, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the window grow dim, when the doors are shut in the street and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terror in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails, but man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. Remember your Creator before the civil court is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like gourds, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these of making many books. There is no end, and much study is worrisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, his commandments. But this is man's fault, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Whew. Wow. What a word. Fear God and keep his commandments. But this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The Lord God sees everything. He sees our good. He sees our bad. He sees our ugly. He sees everything we do. Obey the commandments of God, who created everything. God created everything. He created everything. I keep saying it over and over. God created everything. Fear the Lord God. Keep his commandments. Know who you belong to. And as we go back into this ecclesiastic word and look at some life lessons and what the Bible says, in Ecclesiastes 11 and 4 it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. The procrastinator can easily miss out on God's best for his life. Let your motto be, I'll do it now as the Lord directs. Enables me. It will save a lot of heartache later. Whew, that is so very true. So very true. And because I'm speaking from a sense that I know I have been a procrastinator. I have had my moments where I will wait until tomorrow, but we are not promised tomorrow. So if God puts something in your heart to do, do it now. And I did that last night. I felt good about myself. Something God told me to do, I got it done and felt a lot better about it. And I know there's some other things I got to do, and I'll feel a lot better about it. Ecclesiastes 11 and 5, you do not know the works of God who makes everything. God always, God's ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts far loftier and greater, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And yet what he has revealed, he has given so that we might follow him joyfully. Deuteronomy 29, 29, let us treasure God's word. Let us treasure God's word. God's word is so important in our life. Let us treasure the word of God. So many times we get caught up in the world that we forget to treasure the word of God. And I'm speaking not for anybody. Again, some of us, I can only talk for myself. And I know there have been times where I have gotten totally caught up in what's going on in the world instead of getting caught up, which is what in what's going on in the word. There's so much going on in our world that we are losing it. You have folks upset and mad because this happened to one person who is not honest. They don't care because if someone speaks what I want to hear, then I want that person. And, you know, and it goes on every side. We have all got to be accountable to God. Each and every one of us. And I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We got to understand we are nowhere near God, and no person, place, or thing is a God. All I want to know is, you tell me when a tree can speak to you. We got to talk it off. We got to understand there is only one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit. God loves us so much, and all he wants from us is for us to love each other. And when we go to Deuteronomy 29 and 29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And remember what Moses did was he went back and he gave an overview of the commandments. He gave an overview of what God said. He gave an overview of a covenant with God. We got to understand we are in covenant relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we got to do our part. We've got to do our part. And I love what Dr. Stanley says, what the Bible says about the value of diligence It says the early bird gets the worm, sharp as a cat. You probably heard these time-worn cliches many times, but have you ever realized that both overflow with biblical significance regarding a character trait vital to any successful venue? That character trait is diligence, frequently contrasted in the Bible with laziness and procrastination. The Hebrew language uses two word pictures to illustrate diligence, dawn and night, thus portraying an individual who is fully awake and alert, the early bird, and whose skills are sharpened and honed sharp as a cat. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. The preacher tells us in Ecclesiastes 7 and 4, we can't spend our time daydreaming, nor can we wait to get started until all conditions look absolutely optimal. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. A diligent man is a satisfied man. The lazy man is always dreaming and wanting, but never willing to pay the price of perseverance. Thus he comes to frustration and emptiness. Before the Apostle Peter listed his character building blocks, such as faith, virtue, knowledge, and self-control, he exhorted his readers to apply all diligence. And we're going to go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. So please join me in 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, this is Bible study. Second Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse number 5. Fruitful growth in faith is what it says in there. And when we go to verse 5, it says, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brother, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. But if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew, what a word. Again, add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. But if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a word. And I just read Second Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Hallelujah, what a word today. And as we continue, it says, such qualities are not found in a superficial Christian. They take root in one's character only through steadfast application and pursuit. The overriding motivation for the cultivation and attainment of diligence is not material gain, but the urgency of our Christian witness. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, Jesus said. The night is coming when no one can work. And that's in John chapter 9, and we're going to go there this morning. We're going to John chapter 9 now. So join me in John chapter 9. And we're going to go over to verse 4, but we're actually going to go to verse 1. And when we go to John, first, excuse me, John chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 1 and go to verse number 4. Actually, verse number 5. And it says this, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Oh, I love it. But then let's keep it going, because Jesus told us what his assignment was, that he had to go to work for God, that he came for a purpose, and that this man was born blind for a purpose. So let's see what happened. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is that not he who said? And they, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Whew. But understand, just imagine, had he decided not to go and wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam? What if he had just said, I'm blind, I've been blind, I'm not them, this man, I don't know who he is, talking, putting stuff on my eyes, I can't see, I never will see, I'm not going to go. It's too far. I don't feel like it. I'll go tomorrow. No. We got to have diligence and do what we're told to do when we're told to do it. And I'm speaking for myself and you. Our pilgrimage on earth is brief. A diligent lifestyle is every opportunity to share Christ and make him known. Well, we'll have the greatest influence on the kingdom of God. Time is precious. We redeem it for his purposes as we remain diligent in our work, our study, our witness, and our prayers. Ooh, what a word. And as we continue, a life lesson from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Toward the end of his life, Solomon did not walk with God, and so he dreaded going, let us strive to be more like Moses, who at the end still had bright eyes and a zestful life. And we're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. But we may go a little bit before or a little bit after. We'll see how it reads, and then we may go a little higher. Because I love the word of God. I get all giddy for Jesus. It does something to my spirit. I love to look up and to read and to study and to know that we serve such an awesome and mighty God. And we know that Moses is about to die and that he is not going to be able to go into the land of promise because of his disobedience. And so he's standing on the plains of Mount Nebo on the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth-Peor. but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses. The plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, y'all know my favorite, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land. And by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel. I love this word again. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom when Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. We got to keep the Lord's commandments. We got to do what God says do. We got to believe and know who we are, obey the commandments of God, who created everything. God did it. Not you, not me, but God created everything. Ecclesiastes, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. From Genesis to Revelation, God instructs and urges his people to obey his commands and to fear his great name. Yet we are to do so with joy in our souls and love in our hearts. And if we go over to 1 Corinthians, we're just kind of going all over this morning in our Bible study, and we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians, New Testament word, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. But we're going to go all the way to verse 19, and it's a farewell. And it says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the land with the church that is in the house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. What a word and what a salutation. And let's get into our psalm for this morning. This is the Psalm 103, verses 15 and 22. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all of you, his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I like to add, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We got to speak up and give honor to the Most High God. Proverbs 24, verses 13 through 14. Sons, eat honey because it's good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul, If you have found that there is a prospect and your hope will not be cut off, ooh, we got to have wisdom. We got to ask God for it. But we have to keep his commands and obey what best is the Lord, because he is the creator of everything. He created me. He created you. He created this world. He created all the worlds that we will never see and worlds that will be found. God created them all, and we are his children. Let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. And again, you know, we have so many people that quote these scriptures. It's like, well, God said, no, we got to get it right. Sometimes God didn't say it. The person that wrote the book said it. And all through Corinthians, Paul said, I, Paul, say. And we got to understand this is Paul's opinion. This is Paul's opinion. And Paul is telling you, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And that is, I believe that. The head of woman is man when it is your husband. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. But this is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shown. But if it is but if it is shameful for a woman to be shown or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man is not for woman, but woman for man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angel. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. Catch that. For woman comes from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from who? From God. All things are from God. Judge amongst yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Wow. For her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Did y'all catch that? But if anyone seems to be contentious, and we're going to look up the word contentious, because sometimes you got to go to the dictionary. So let's go over to Webster. Get the dictionary out and look up the word contentious. Tending to argument or strife, quarrelsome, causing, involving, or characterizing by argument or controversy, pertaining to causes between contending or opposing parties. If we want to look up the synonyms: antagonistic, combative, testy, argumentative, belligerent, factitious, perverse, petulant, quarrelsome, contentious. But Paul said this now, but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Sometimes you got to read a thing more than once to understand it. Judge amongst yourself, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. You know, I am one that believes that God, to worship him, in spirit and in truth. Jesus is our covering. Our husbands cover us as wives. If you are not married, your covering is Christ. That's my belief. That's what I feel. That if you are unmarried, your covering is Christ, the bridegroom. And Christ's covering is God. But once you are married, your husband is your covering. That's my feelings. That's what I believe. Because you cannot be covered by a man that is not your husband. Me covering. My covering is Jesus. As a widow, my covering is Jesus. I had a covering of my husband for 32 years, and now I have a covering of the Savior. When God called me to come and to do ministry, I remember going into the water. I had to be baptized. That was what God gave me in a dream, that before I could be licensed, I had to be baptized. And my children and my pastors, I went into that water that day. I wasn't feeling good because the enemy was attacking in every way. Well, you know you're supposed to do this. Well, you know you got that to do. Well, you know this. You know this is your husband's birthday. So why are you getting baptized today? You know, you really should be, you know, going out to the cemetery, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing it. I'm like, not today. I have a new day. This is my birthday. This is my day that I was born again. This is the day that I accepted 100% my calling. And I had to take that day because the devil used it against me. For 2 years, he would use it against me. But on that 12th day of September in 2012, so it was 9, 12, and 12. I got baptized. I had never been baptized. I've been sprinkled, but never baptized. And that day, I got baptized. And it was in my 53rd year of life. 5 plus 3 is 8. New beginning. I had a new beginning. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. And he loves us so much. And all he asks is for us to keep his commandments. Keep the commandments of the Lord today. And know that he is with you wherever you go. And that he loves you more than you could ever imagine. Let God work in your life. Let God take you higher. Keep his commandments and love each other. Don't let anybody bring us or break us apart. Community of loving God. We got to love each other first. We love God first and love each other. as Jesus commanded. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And on these two commandments, it says, in all the law and the prophets, after he told us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. You got to love you to love God. Love God today. Love your neighbor today. Don't let anybody make you, knock you off your square and make you hate your brothers or your sisters because they don't look like you. They don't act like you. They may not even smell like you. But they're still your siblings in the crux of things that God has created. Because God created them just like God created you. And so if you are hating someone because they don't look like you, because they don't act like you, because they don't smell like you, because they're not the same religion as you, and they're not the same as this or that, understand this. God don't make junk. And everyone that is on this planet, every flower, every tree, every animal, every person, God created. And he makes no mistakes. So if you are hating somebody, hating a thing, remember this. God made them just like he made you. And I had to come to that realization on last night. I have been listening to different pastors on YouTube on yesterday. And I heard one, and he was having a moment about Beyonce's new album, which I will tell you, I don't like it. I think it's sacrilege. I think it's satanic. But I'm going to pray for her soul. I'm going to pray for her enlightenment. I'm going to pray for her, not vilify her, not tear her down, because she's getting enough of that all over the country, but lifting her up. Because regardless of what her album says and whatever it is, understand that she still is a child of God and she needs prayer. We don't know her story, but we know she needs prayer. And what you do is you tell your children, don't listen to that mess. You tell your daughters, you're not that church girl. You're not the one out in the club on Saturday night and stumbling in church on Sunday morning. And if it is, and if you are, you're coming in to repent. A young woman, a young man, who might have been in the club. Because he's going to need him or her to speak to the ones that are in there today. He's going to use that one to minister and to preach and to bring others to Christ. I can't speak to that life because I didn't live that life. We can't all have been in the streets and on drugs or doing drugs or whatever. That may not be your story, but if it is, and you've been called, it's for a purpose and a reason. So don't vilify, uplift, and pray. And give God every day that he gave us all a do-over. And just like he gave you a do-over today, he may give Beyonce a do-over tomorrow. So don't vilify this young lady. Pray for her. And I had to come to that realization. God convicted me about it. And so I'm thankful for the conviction. And I'm thankful to God that he's saying we all fall short of his glory. Through fasting and prayer, we can defeat any demon. So thanking God daily, lifting up each other, and watching God work. And this is a word from our sister in Christ today. Woo! Right on point. When we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a warfare on Wednesday. Remember, this book called the Bible is your weapon of choice. Use it and fight the fight of faith. Hallelujah. Thank God every day. Know that he has got you covered. For the crown of your head, for the soles of your feet. And our word for this morning is this. Whew. My intercessor. In the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning so deep for words. Romans 8:26 NASB. And we're going to go over to Romans 8:6 in New King James, so we get a different understanding. Because sometimes different Bibles can give you a different meaning, and we want to go to the source. And so go to Romans with me, chapter 8, and we're going to go to verse 26. We may go around it or above it or beneath it to make sure we get it in context. And to get it in context, we are going to go to verse 18. And then we're going to read our prayer, and then it's that. It says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to frailty, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaned and labored with birth pains together until now. Only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray, for we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to read that again because that's our word for this morning. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this is our script. I love this word. This is a scripture I read yesterday. And we know that all things, come on now, say it with me, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he predestined, there these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Hallelujah. And as we go through and wrap up this morning, we have to remember that our God created everything. Who keep his commandments. And it says in our word for this prayer this morning, Spirit of God, when I don't know the words to pray, fill in with your own expression of what is in my heart. I am so grateful that I can rely on you in every moment. You take my weakness and breathe your life that brings strength. You bring light to every dark situation. There is no problem too tough or trial too rough for you to turn it on its head. I love that about you. When I am at a loss for words, it's all the same to you because you see straight to the heart of me. Intercede on my behalf. Pray what I don't even know how to. You are my ever-present help in time of need, expressing the needs that seem too great for great to meet. Nothing is too difficult for you. Thank you for your endless willingness and strength to pick up where I leave off. Right now, I quiet myself before you and ask for your language to take over my own. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, and all the praise. Father God, I lift up this day each and every person listening, asking you, Lord God, to cover them in their coming in and their going out. Father God, I ask you to watch over them, to give them strength, to give them wisdom, to give them perseverance, to give them everything they need to walk the walk and talk the talk, and to live in this wicked, wicked world. Lord God, let us be light that shines on you. Lord, let us not hold under a veil of light that you have given us, the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let his light shine on us and through us. In his name I lift up and ask you, Lord, as I may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. One from each other in Jesus' name, family, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And as you go through your day, this is the question. Do you trust that the Holy Spirit makes up the difference when you don't know what to say? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for taking over this morning. In Jesus' name, I thank you. I lift up. I look up. I give you honor. I give you glory. And I give you praise, O God. And you are everything to me. You are my Father. You are my friend. And Lord God, I pray, help me to obey your commandments. For I know that you created everything. Thank God in the midst. Thank God for everything. And if there's anybody before we get out that needs to say a word that God has given you, just push the one on your phone and your line will be open. If not, we are a wrap. Join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. It's your standard time for a word from the Lord. We will be starting a new book, Song of Solomon, another word written by Solomon. And, you know, like I said, wives, get your husbands, get your wife. This is just one of those lovely love chapters. There's some, like, those say those words, and it's like, oh, making them, you know, but understand, it's in a love relationship. So anyway, thank you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.